Hello, everybody. This is Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday night prayer night. Not prayer night. Come on. I'm so excited about today redoing my presentation on God as our Abba Father. So I hope that everyone's going to be blessed. And I worked right up to the very minute. In fact, I ran over late to doing the show. But, so we're going to do, I didn't even finish redoing it. I did a lot, but I'm very excited about a lot of things. And one is what is on the screen right now. Let me show it to you. And, I was in a site with old churches and old, revival, lots of revival tents and unknown preachers, never heard of them. Going back 100 years, 120 years, like maybe to the turn of the 19th century, and I came across this plaque that was on a church, and it says, "Jesus said, 'Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.'" And then it says, "Wanted: drug addicts, okay; alcoholics, okay; demon possessed, and then look at this: broken hearted." Wow. I looked at that and I went, yes, yes, yes. Sick and afflicted. they were dealing with the brokenhearted back then. So I don't know. There was no date on this other than it was in with older pictures. Everyone welcome. Brokenhearted. So back in the day, they knew to minister to the brokenhearted, which of course has been lost in our modern era here. But with the grace of God, it's going to be restored. And part of it being restored will be through this ministry. So I was stunned when I looked at that. Broken hearted.
Wow.
So I'm going to add that to my broken hearted teaching, but I wanted you to see it because this isn't a broken hearted teaching. This is God is our Abba Father. But I wanted you to see this. So let me go and say hello to everyone. And let me check here to make sure. Okay, according to all my instruments here, we're flying and we're online. So, Sister Kathy, what do you have? Are we flying now?
You're wide open in the big blue skies, yes.
Okay.
And there's 16 people.
All right. Now, have you seen that picture I put up?
I see it now, and I predict it was Salvation Army. It looks like so much like their printing and their color. They would use red a whole lot. But that is phenomenal. You are so right. That's amazing.
I was at the prayer meeting this morning, and I mentioned this. And one of the pastors that was there, he said, we've lost it, haven't we? Mm. He said, we really have lost it. Because I told him right there was the brokenhearted on this. It would be like, I assume that this is on a church. In other words, it's in with old pictures. So it's got to be hooked up. And it very well may be the Salvation Army. And he said, we really, really have lost it, haven't we? So we got into a discussion at the prayer time this morning. And next Tuesday, I'm going to come and they're going to advertise it. And when I come to the prayer meeting, I'm going to pray over. I'm going to lay hands on people that they would be anointed to fulfill Luke 4:18. Mm. Isn't that nice?
That is outstanding.
Okay.
Look out, sinners and brokenhearted people. Here they come.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really excited. Now, Sister Sharon, have you seen the picture? Sister Sharon, you got to unmute yourself. Oh, my. Paula Jean, have you muted yourself?
Oh, I did.
Uh-huh.
Here I am.
Okay. It's a double mute. All right. Have you seen?
I was looking. I went over to the Salvation Army site. I haven't seen anything yet, but there's a lot of links over there to try to pig through. So if I find something, I'll let you know.
All right. Have you seen it?
Well, the picture is on the it's on the Rumble site for Chaplain John.
Yeah, it's on there. You can see it. Yeah. So I was so delighted to see that. It's literally the first time I've ever seen it advertised like that. I can't think of any other time. The brokenhearted. Yes.
It's the scripture, straight from the word,
Yeah.
And it is God's heart.
Amen.
And that's really our best advertisement.
Exactly.
Is his word.
Exactly. Yeah. Brokenhearted. All right. I just wanted to show you that because I want to get into the teaching. And Gigi and Randy, hello. I just want to say hello.
Yes, we are saying hello too. God bless you and looking forward to tonight.
Now, can you go to Rumble? Can you see the show?
That's on my other phone. Let me see.
Because I've got some... I have some postings here that I think I'd like everybody to see.
Oh, I see it now. Yeah, I see it now.
Isn't that nice?
Very nice.
Yeah.
But I think that is really amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Brother Charles, can you see it?
Yes, sir, I can see it. And did you notice the way they spell labor with the U in there? It probably was somewhere in the UK. All ye that labor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, that's out of the King James.
Oh, okay.
That's out of all the pictures that I saw. It was in the, I mean, just a load of them. It was all America and tent revivals and some water baptisms and things like that. Then they did have signs like this. And then that there was this one. So
how old do you think it is, John?
I don't know. I just looking at it, to me, it seems like it would be 100 years old. You know?
Wow. I took a screenshot of it. I really, really liked it.
Now, with Sister Kathy, she's probably right on. That's probably something like some ministry. It's either the Salvation Army or some ministry like the Salvation Army. Yeah. Okay, we'll get back soon. And then, Sister Rita?
Hello, Chaplain. Good evening.
Good evening.
And that is one of my favorite verses. Come
right.
unto me, all ye that are
Matthew
labor
12.
And heavy laden, and
yeah.
I'll give you rest.
Yeah. And that's perfect with the broken heart.
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay. All right, and then we have Joy with us. Hello, Joy.
Hello, Pastor John.
I'm glad you're here tonight. Now, are you on Rumble so you can see, or are you just hearing here?
I'm only hearing.
Okay.
I need to register on Rumble. I didn't.
I might show this tomorrow. I probably will show it tomorrow night. I'd like the whole church
That's
to
awesome.
See it. So if you will you be able to come tomorrow night?
Yes.
Good. Or are you going to get a peek, sneak view of tomorrow's teaching? All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. God bless you. All right. Let me get over. See if we are. Yeah. Everything is go. Yeah. Now, the testimony. Here, I'm going to be teaching quite a bit before I zero in intensely on God as our Abba Father. I'm going to mention it, but I'm going into what it means to walk with the Spirit, and that walking with the Spirit is with God as our Abba Father, because that's where the power comes, God as our Abba Father and walking after the Spirit. So just a testimony here with me. When I came to the Lord many, many years ago now, I was in bondage. The problem was a broken heart and strongholds, you know, the whole bit, just like every sinner would be. And when I came to the Lord, I noticed that there wasn't, I mean, I belief was there, the faith was there, but it didn't change much inside of me. And I was perplexed about that, because I was battling with this broken heart and the things that were emanating from the broken heart. And I was reading in Romans 8. I like Romans and I like chapter 8. And it talked about walking after the Spirit. And I thought that walking after the Spirit would change this, what I didn't know at the time what it was, but it turns out to be spiritual bondage. And that's exactly what Romans 8 is talking about. So I went to the church I was attending, and I talked to probably about no more than six people, but I knew that they were mature in the Lord, and I including the pastor. I went to the pastor, and I said, "How do you walk after the Spirit?" And all of them said the same thing: you pray, you read the Word, you know, praise and thanksgiving, you go to church, you know, all of that. And I was doing this already and nothing was happening. So it really perplexed me. And I ended up battling that for about 30 years until the Lord moved to literally heal my broken heart and change everything. So I found out that the blockage to me living in Romans 8 was a broken heart and strongholds in my mind, which comes right out of Luke 4:18. So when the Lord came to save us, according to Luke 4:18, and also part of his ministry was to free us from what I was in bondage to. And it says, I came to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and set at liberty them that are crushed. So although I really liked Romans 8 there, actually Romans 8 is a part of Romans 6, 7, and 8 go together. 6, 7, and 8 go together. So let's take a look now. Walking after the Spirit. The background is Romans 6, 7, 8. It's one unit. Romans 6 flows into 7, and Romans 7 flows into 8. So the key to understanding these chapters is knowing that the focus of chapter 6 is normal Christianity with power. That's normal Christianity. Chapter 7 is about the battle preventing normal Christianity, plus living normal Christianity. Normal Christianity is not being in bondage, living in the joy of the Lord, having tremendous peace. You know, that's normal Christianity. And what Romans 7 reveals is what's preventing that is the law of sin. It's called the law of sin. Now, Romans 8 is the victory over the law of sin by walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that will be walking with God as our Abba Father. So what I'm really after tonight, and I'm focusing in on it big time, is this the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. As I studied the Word all these years and ministered to a lot of people, every verse in the Bible is important, but for discipleship and power for living and for living in the joy of the Lord, I think the most outstanding verse, and I think it's in a league by itself, is Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're going to focus a lot on the law of sin and death because it is intertwined with God as our Abba Father. Okay. Walking after the Spirit with God as our Abba Father. Abba found only three times. It's found only three times. I got to put an S there. There's a little, I don't know how many times I've used this, but it's the first time I've noticed that spelling error in the Bible. It's used as a term of tender endearment by a beloved child, that is, in an affectionate, dependent relationship with their child. In English, now, Abba is a Hebrew word. It's translated daddy and papa. Now, as I said, it's just found three times in the Bible. Abba is special. Now, a lot of us will pray to God as Father God or Heavenly Father, and that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. However, Abba is special. Father God, Heavenly Father, are sort of general terms. It can fit anything related to God. That's fine. I don't want anybody to think I'm bad-mouthing these terms. However, Abba Father is unique. and it doesn't fit generally everything about God. What it fits about God is we are little children. When we pray to God and we refer to him as Abba, we're coming as a little child before our Heavenly Father. So it limits, like in the physical sense here on earth, we address our Father as Abba, starting to when we can talk, our earthly Father, starting as when we can talk, up to girls is longer, but with boys, I'm going to say 10 years old, they stop referring to their father as daddy. The girls could be longer, but as we get older, we drop daddy. Dad, but daddy is a definite time frame. So if I was 30 years old and I called up my father on the phone and I'm talking to him and I refer to him as daddy, he'd laugh at me. What, son, what's wrong with you? Why are you calling me daddy? Because it doesn't fit. It only fits a certain age. And that's the way it is with God. So notice there, term of tender endearment. That's the way we're approaching God. Affectionate, dependent. That's the way we're approaching God as our Abba Father. And when I minister to people that have had broken hearts and powerful strongholds in their mind and things like that, one of the things I focus on is that they enter into a relationship with God as their Abba Father. Because those that have broken hearts, you know, I can't think of anybody that I've prayed with, maybe a couple, even with bad broken hearts, approach God as Abba Father. And that afterwards, I want them on that road. That God is their Abba Father, because that's exactly what they need. That's exactly what we all need. But in bondage, it blocks that. So even the Lord Jesus referred to his Heavenly Father as Abba only once, and it was in Mark 14:36. And this is at the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was seeking his Father about going to the cross the next day. And he said, Abba, Father, he's coming like a helpless little child before God the Father. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So at the time of his greatest stress and his greatest need, he was before God the Father as his Abba. Now, the other two times where it appears, and we'll get into this later, is Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6. So it's key to remembering to this that God wants to be known as Abba, and that means a tender relationship, just like when we are 4 years old. We have babies want to have a loving relationship with their earthly father. Now, actually I had like two Abba fathers. The one on the left is my grandfather, and that's me with him sitting on his lap with my toy, stuffed animal. And, because what happened was my mother and father were divorced at him. I never remember them one day together. But there's my, on the right is my, my real father. So I had two. I had grandpa and I had my dad. Now, the way it strangely went, folks, when my father came to visit me, no one said, your father's here or anything like that. They called him Joe. And he called me Johnny. So, He never called me son. He would say Johnny. And I would refer to him as Joe because everybody else did. And I was 6 years old before I knew that he was my father. I thought he was a big friend. He just showed up and he took me places and he took me places to eat and all that stuff. And then he'd disappear and he'd come back. So I just thought he was a big friend. And even when he came to visit me, my mother would say, Joe was here to see you. So I never knew till I was 6 years old. Now, when you're reading the scriptures, you'll see, usually in the introduction to the, Paul writes about it in the introduction to the epistles, God our Father. So 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace be to you and peace from God our Abba Father and from the Lord, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It fits there. It's perfect to address God as our Abba Father because the doctrine is set. We've got the scriptures that set the doctrine that God is our Father. So I place Abba there when I'm reading the scriptures. God, our Abba Father. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God, our Abba Father. Again, that's me. I place Abba in there because I want that focus in my mind. That God is our Abba Father. And it's same in Ephesians. Now I want to go into the spirit of adoption. Romans 8:15. Now hang on for a second, folks. I'm going to check something. Okay. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Whereby, now look at this, we cry, Abba, Father. See, that word cry doesn't mean cry like we're injured or cry. It means cry out. It doesn't mean cry because you're hurt. Today we might say, whereby we shout. Now, the King James says cry, but whereby we shout, we proclaim, things like that, Abba, Father. So we are adopted into the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God, we're adopted into the family of God. But this is not like, oh, that's nice. And it's legal. You know, it's a legal thing that happened. And, you know, that's really nice. I'm glad. This is emotional. This is we're into the family of God, whereby we cry. That's cry with joy, with exclamation. Abba, Father, Daddy God. He wants to be our daddy God. That's God. He wants to be daddy. Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There it is again. Crying, Abba, Father. That's crying with joy. That's crying with happiness. That is the relation. God wants folks a very emotional relationship with him. And we should seek it. And I think it's something, well, I'm speaking for myself, but it's something I had to grow into. Studying and preaching Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:15 has have me develop down that road. But God wants, in other words, for me, it's a growth process. Some people might become very emotional right away. But it's something that I know God wants. And he wants an emotional relationship with him, built on love and full of joy, just like the relationship you build with your little child, the little child. That's the way God wants the relationship between him and us. So the word cry here, the Greek, it means to croak like a raven, you know, make noise like a cockatoo does. And so it also means to scream, to call aloud, and it's translated shriek, exclaim, entreat. Noise, folks. And I'll just give you one scripture. I have three of them out there, but I'll just give you one. Be glad. And there's many, many more, folks. Many in the Psalms. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. That's the cry. To cry out for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So to be emotional with God, absolutely. He desires it. Now, crying, Abba Father. Now, what I want to show you is, hang on here. I got to get this out. And I can't just put it in PowerPoint because it's a video. There's a process to go through. And I'm having someone work right now to do that. So just stay with me you've got to see this video. And it'll take me just a tad bit to get it over to you. Okay, I don't have the video. I've got the video. And I'm setting it up. Okay. All right. Now let me see if this is full screen or not. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now remember, whereby we cry, Abba Father, and the relationship is that God, we are little children, and it's like we'll say 3 years old, 3 to 4 years old, and we are excited about our earthly father. So here, remember, whereby we cry, Abba Father.
Daddy,
everything.
Hi, how are you, mi amor?
Okay, now I'm going to go over back in here, and I've got Sister Kathy. Now, Sister Kathy, do you like that better than Ani?
Oh, my goodness. I am just thanking you. That was so precious.
As soon as I came across that, I went, Kathy. Folks, if you don't know, I have a cockatoo named Ani. And when he sees his earthly father, his human father coming home, this cockatoo goes crazy. But Kathy did not really like that, and God bless Wild Olive, she didn't like it either. But so I found that one. Now, does that fit God our Abba Father, Sister Kathy?
Listen, that suits it to a T, because they were looking for him, and they ran to him before he got to the door. I mean, that is so precious. Thank you for finding that.
Right. And notice whereby we cry, Abba Father. So here we are. Here is these little children. I could have watched hours of them, I think. I mean, you get excited watching it, you know, waiting for the kids. And you notice how they threw their bottles away. They were sucking on that, and they saw Daddy. They actually threw it away and went running to them.
And crying, Abba Father. And crying, Daddy.
Folks, I couldn't get a better physical example of the relationship God wants with you as his Abba Father. And with that, the joy that that little kid had there and the security they felt and all, that's exactly what God wants with us. Exactly. Now, you're going to have to bear a little bit of time with me because I have to unravel how I got that for you to see it. And because it's not set up yet. So I have to make some more. Here we go. I'm getting close. Yes. I'm almost there. Okay. Here we go. Oh, Sister Kathy, I've been waiting now for probably close to a week to play this just for you. Folks, she would leave the room when Ani came on or mute it or do so. What did you do, Sister Kathy?
Yeah, I would. I didn't even want to look at it because I could hear it in my mind. It was so offensive, that sound. And Twizzle says the same thing. So she agrees.
Well, I mean, I was trying, Sister Kathy, to make that connection with the bird. I hadn't come across anything like this till about a week ago.
You did a good job to get it at that point, but
yes.
You perfected it now, mister. You got it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're driving me to drink. I've got my water here. Okay, now we're going to apply this with the scriptures. So we see how God wants to interact with us. Now, I had a problem with this, folks, because in my mind, I've got this view of God as this, which he is, this incredible power. And Jesus Christ was our size. I don't know how tall he was, but I'm sure he wasn't any taller than me. I'm 6'1". And the only giants back then were like Goliath. So he wasn't huge. He probably wasn't very short. And in him was the power of creation. He spoke the universe into existence. So size doesn't mean anything to God like that. But in my mind, I couldn't get that out of my mind. So it was hard for me to see God as our Abba Father with this power. And I've gotten over that. But now we're going to look at the parable of who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I think that this is the most important parable, especially for us and our relationship with God. So we go to Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Now, I think that that's legitimate. That's a legitimate question. Because a lot of the scriptures, you go through it, especially in Matthew, the Lord's talking about the kingdom of God. So this arose in the disciples' minds. You know, when we go to heaven, who was the greatest in the kingdom? Verse 2. And Jesus called, now look at this, a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. A little child like we just saw in those pictures there of 4-year-old, 3-year-old, and the relationship that they had with their earthly Abba Father. And notice how they recognized them, their fathers, even at like 3 years old. And if you took that child outside, or if you brought a lot of, we'll say, men in, they could spot their father at that age. You know, that's one thing they could do. So he set a little child in the midst of the disciples. Now we have the Abba Father and the little children here. And he said unto them, and he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little children, there is a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Wow. Now, obviously, that's not physical. It's not a physical happening here. So I can understand, except you be converted. That's no problem. Everybody can understand that. And become as little children. Or that's getting a little difficult. You shall not enter into the kingdom of God. That's serious, folks. So except you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So God is serious about being Abba Father and we're his little children. I mean, that verse there is a game changer. That verse is a stopper. Except you be converted, no problem with that, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Obviously, that's not physical. It has something to do about the structure, the character of a little child, a three-year-old, four-year-old. Then we go to verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall, now here it is, humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now humble himself. The little child is completely dependent upon his earthly father. He cannot cook food. The little child cannot, some of them can't even dress themselves. They can't work to earn any money. If you were to take them out to the store and your little child got away from you and got into the store there, he's totally lost. He doesn't know how to get out of it. If there's a dangerous situation, he can't protect himself. So God wants us to become little in our relationship with him, that we trust him explicitly, like those children we saw running to their father, trust him. That's the relationship. That is, except you become like little children. That's the relationship that he wants. Now, in that relationship, he protects us. He blesses us. And I'll give myself, for example. I was 24 when I came to the Lord, and I was independent. You know, I was all by myself like that. I was totally independent. I wasn't depending upon my father. I was depending on no one but myself. Now, that's the way I was, not because I, you know, wanted to be like that. That's the way, I guess you could say, the world is. So when I came to Christ as my Savior, I knew nothing of this. And I can remember reading Matthew and being confused about this. What does this mean? I know it's not physical. There's some spiritual meaning to it. So the greatest in the kingdom of heaven are those that have that loving relationship with God as his Abba Father. And that's only developed by humbling ourselves and growing close to him and trusting him and seeking him like as our protection and everything. That's the relationship he wants for. And those are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven that have that Abba Father. We're the little children. He is our Abba Father. And when we see him there, we squeal like those kids that they drop everything. And I got a kick out of it where I think it was two of them threw the bottle. They didn't drop it. They were sucking on their little bottle there. And daddy comes home and one of them flung it and goes running. Folks, that's the living relationship God wants with us, our Abba Father. So it's not based on works, folks. It's not based on achievements, because what can little four-year-olds do as far as works to appease their earthly father? Nothing. I mean, if they draw a crayon on a piece of paper that doesn't make any sense, that the earthly father is so happy with that. That's the way our heavenly father is. So everybody, I also believe that pastors should preach this parable, you know, at least once a year, but it should be done a couple times because it's so important, folks, to establish this relationship with God as our Abba Father. And I know that in my particular case, and it's probably with everybody, God brought things into my life so that I'd be humbled and seek him and couldn't get out of things except trusting him as a little child. So if I understood that at a much earlier age in the Lord, I think it would have made things easier on me. Let's put it that way. But I didn't know. I didn't know until many years later that that was God's object. He was our Abba Father. We're our little children, and he wants us to humble ourselves before him and develop that relationship. So the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, everyone under the sound of my voice can be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's just simply developing that relationship with God as you are the little child and God is our Abba Father. That's his goal, folks. That's the goal of our Heavenly Father, our Father God, and our Abba Father. It's amazing, folks, how emotional God is to this level. It shows you how tender he is and how loving he is. And we are his little children. And he loves that relationship. He loves to hear us cry, Abba Father. So, open to everyone, folks, to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God is no respecter of persons. Now we're into spiritual laws, and I've completely revising this, and I haven't quite finished it yet. I spent a lot of time on this today, and this is so important, folks. Well, let me get into it. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this is incredibly important, the way God's pouring this into me so clearly, and he wants to get it out to everyone. Romans 8:1. Now this is walking after the Spirit. There's two spiritual laws involved here now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're after the Spirit. Our life is connected. That's our walk of life is connected with the Spirit of God. The next verse tells us how to walk after the Spirit. Romans 8:2. And remember, I told you how important Romans 8:2 is. Now here it is. For the law, I'm going to say it again. The law, this is not the law of Moses. The law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Free from the law of sin and death. We live in spiritual laws, folks. Just like there are physical laws on the earth, we can't violate those laws. We have to function within God's spiritual laws. Because if we don't live within God's spiritual laws, what's on the outside of that? Weakness, sin, bondage. So we must walk, live for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, as I get into this, I want to start off with, I don't badmouth people that bring psychology into Christianity, because the reason I don't bet, I would tell them they're wrong and why, but they think they're doing good. They think that they have Christian terms on the things they're doing, like Christian psychologists and that. So I don't badmouth them, folks, but they're deadly wrong. Some of the things, like if they talk about forgiveness, that can help. That can help the situation, you know, and if they talk of maybe restitution and stuff, that can help. But it can't get at the core. And anyone ministering, if they don't minister under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, they can't set people free. And there are so many Christians in bondage today. And you can start with me after I came to the Lord for 30 years. Because as I would, what I was seeking and maybe prayer and that wasn't under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now think of it like gravity. So if someone says they're on top of a building and I can take these five principles, let's say, and I really believe it and I'm going to confess it and I'm going to walk on that ledge and I'm 10 stories above the ground and I believe gravity has no hold on me and I'm going to walk out. That person's dead, straight down. It's a physical law that's immutable. It means it doesn't change. God's spiritual laws are immutable. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we as the body of Christ have to tap in and live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And what is that? It's his resurrection power. That's exactly what it is. So what I'm going to do, because I haven't finished it, but I'll go as far as I have gone. And then maybe Thursday I'll add to the part that I finished in here. But we have to move into God's law, because it says right here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And what's in sin and death? Bondage, fear, sin, things like strongholds. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus busts that, and we're free from it. And that's what we must apply to people, that law. That's where the great power of Christianity lies, in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The Lord's resurrection is a doctrine that we really must believe to be a real Christian. The Bible's real clear on that. But it's more than a doctrine. It's power. He was raised in power. And the Bible says, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in the newness of life. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So let's look at this now. Physical laws. I found out in my research, there's some arguments about this amongst scientists and physicists and that, but there's about 22 to 24 laws that this universe operates under. And I only picked up three here to show you. The law of gravity. It's a physical law. Everything with mass attracts. Spiritual parallel. Sin pulls us down, inescapable, without intervention. Just like gravity pulls down, folks, so does sin. It never lets up because it's under the law of sin and death in the spiritual realm affecting us. The second law of thermodynamics, the physical law. Systems left alone go towards disorder. That's called entropy. So if you, you can pick anything, folks. You take your house. If you do nothing to it, you buy it and you live in it for 40 years and you never paint it, you never fix the roof on it, windows broke because of storms, you don't fix them. Maybe a squirrel got in and tore up your attic and ceilings and you don't fix that. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. After so many years, the refrigerator won't work. Well, if you don't fix it or replace it, you can't store food in it. That destruction that I'm describing is the law of thermodynamics. It's called entropy. Everything goes from a like a house to 100 years later, a rotten pile of wood. It took energy to build that house, and it takes energy to create it, because we exist under the law of thermodynamics, where everything is going from like creation order to disorder. And that happened when man sinned. The second law of thermodynamics. Physical law. Systems left alone go towards disorder. Entropy increases. Spiritual power. A life without God decays morally and spiritually. Right? There are laws of electromagnetism, and that's attraction and repulsion. Physical law. Opposite charges attract. Like charges repel. So if you have a magnet and you have a positive side and negative side, and you put the positive side, you try and put the positive side together, the positive sides together, it doesn't work. They will do everything they can not to cling to each other, because they are functioning under the law of electromagnetism. However, if you take the positive charge and the negative charge on another piece and put them together, it'll work. The spiritual parallel. The flesh and the spirit repel each other. And what I plan on doing, I want to do as many of these laws that the universe is operating by. I want to put them like I'm doing here, and then put the spiritual application to it. So you could see that there's a spirit, the spirit realm or the physical realm matches like the spiritual realm. Now, in this one here, the law of electromagnetism, the spiritual parallel is the spirit, the flesh, and the spirit repel each other. There's no way that the spirit and the flesh can work together, folks. They just can't. So that there's just three laws that we can bring over into these spiritual laws, or we can connect these three physical laws with the spiritual laws. You know, look at that first one, the law of gravity. Everything with mass attracts. So it's pulling each other. Here, the earth, we have mass, and the earth is pulling us to it. Spiritual parallel. Sin pulls us down, inescapable without intervention. There's no way we can escape gravity, folks. No way on our own. Can't. Impossible. There's no way we can escape from sin and corruption at all on our own, because it's a law. We, through Jesus Christ, intervention, we can. So we're going to take a look now at his intervention. So I have an analogy of the laws. Well, that was kind of an analogy I looked at, but this one here is a visual analogy, and it's spiritual flight, I call it, analogy. And it's of an airplane. So the airplane is the born again believer in Christ, a real believer in Christ. Gravity is the law of sin and death pulling that on that plane all the time. It never lets up for a nanosecond. Lift, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's a law that overcomes gravity. So gravity is the law of sin and death. And to get that plane off the ground, which is us, it has to be the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now thrust, that's the word of God, faith, power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power that keeps the plane in the air. It's called thrust. And so the power that keeps us going is the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and faith. And then drag on the plane to pull it down is flesh, temptation, and the world system. All right. So let's take a look. These are brand new, folks. I just worked, in fact, before the show to finish one of them. So here we go. All right. Here's the analogy, the law of the spirit versus the law of sin and death. Flight analogy to Romans 8:2. So there's the airplane, and it's being lifted above gravity. It's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Notice the lift is being pulled up because of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And look at gravity. Gravity is pulling down because of the law of sin and death. Now, thrust, faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit's power. The plane is keeping up. It has to go. It has to have thrust. Lift isn't enough. It has to have thrust. So it's lift that overcomes gravity. And then thrust is what keeps us in the air. And drag on the plane, pulling it down, their drag is temptation and flesh. So this, I thought that this was a real, at least my opinion, I'll find out soon what you think. I think this is a real good, this is really good to show these different laws and how they operate. Gravity, the law of sin and death, has us locked into it, where our feet are on the ground, we can't get off it, and it's because of gravity, and that's the law of sin and death. But there's a greater law, a more powerful law, a superior law, any word you want to put on it, and that is the lift that gets that plane, will take the plane up in the air, and that's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is his resurrection power. It's his resurrection power that takes us up and puts us in the atmosphere where we're not stuck on the ground. That's the greater law. His resurrection power is probably the greatest law in the universe. Well, it probably is, without a doubt. And then thrust is our faith in Christ, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit's power. And as long as we live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that we are the law of gravity cannot pull us down. And as long as we've got faith in the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit, which I've come to believe the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, they're intertwined, folks. It's just different applications of that power. So the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is the most important thing to us, folks. How can we defeat gravity, which is the law of sin and death, in people's lives, people bound in drugs, bound in all sorts of sin, suicidal, hopeless, full of fear? That's the law of sin and death. They're grounded to it. But it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which defeats all of that. That's what we have to promote. That's what we have to live in. That's where the victory is. Now, there's another one, and what I want your opinion of which one's best. This is the law of the spirit again, Romans 8:2. There's the airplane. We got the lift pulling straight up. We got the gravity pulling down to the law of sin and death. And the power of God is the thrust that keeps the plane going. And the drag is trying to, that's the world, the sin. It's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things, the love of money and all that. That's what the drag is. The drag is trying to slow us down and pull us down. And the thrust is keeping us going forward in Jesus Christ. Now, the problem is I like both of them. And I don't know if it's, when I see the first one, I really like it. When I see this one, I really like it. So I'm going to stop here for a moment and go back over to the chat room here. And Sister Kathy, I lead off with you. First, we'll talk about the pictures. Well, no, first of all, in general, how do you like the new emphasis I have on the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Yeah, Sister Kathy? Well, you might be a mutant.
Yes, sir. I just had to step out for a minute, but I'm back.
All right. Were you able to follow my teachings on the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus?
Well, lift and gravity and drag and power and thrust. Yeah. You got to have it.
Right.
Got to have it.
And that's the resurrection power. It's not psychology.
Right.
Now, I had two displays. Did you like one better than the other?
Well, I didn't see the other one. The one I see is the one that says Law of the Spirit. Can you flip back to the other one?
Yeah, sure.
I think I like the flight analogy, Romans 8:28, better. Because it's upward.
The first one.
Well, yeah, it would have been the first one.
Okay.
I like that one better.
I mean, it's like a home run to tie it all together. It's one thing maybe in theory, but you see it now, you know?
Absolutely. That is dramatic.
Okay. Sister Sharon, any comments about me emphasizing on the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus?
Well, it's a good thing to do and to teach. And I like the second one best.
Uh-oh. I can see what's going to happen now. I'm going to have to show both of them tomorrow night. I've got that feeling.
I think you need to get a vote on them. Yeah, show them tomorrow and see how many like which one.
Okay.
I think the one with the plane that's tilted, like it's heading upwards, that's how we grew up, looking at planes taking off with the flight and the drag and all that stuff. But that's why I like number two best.
All right. Now, Sister Rita, I don't believe you're able to see this, but
I'm not.
My teaching on Romans 8:2.
Yes.
Tell me what you think of that, please, and I hope it's good.
Well, I think the teaching is good, but the video about the bird, I'm not too thrilled about.
Video about the bird.
Annie.
Arnie.
Annie's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know then what you're asking them. I think I am enjoying the teaching.
Idea that we need to engage the spiritual realm under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's what my emphasis is. And the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is his resurrection. The power of the resurrection needs to be in our life to overcome all bondage. So I'm really emphasizing. Okay. And then we have Joy here. Yes.
I really enjoy the teaching. It's very worth it. And also the pictures I love too, because I was so curious. I cannot see it today, but I want to see it tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right. So I don't know. I look at the first one and I like it. And then I look at the second one and I really like it. So.
Because the people view, the picture will grip whoever like either one. You know, so it both are helpful for us to grasp the truth.
Right, right. Yeah, I think the picture, like I said, really, either one of them really hits home. It really hits home.
Yes, I love it. Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. Now let me go back, and I've got a little bit more to finish, and then we'll call it a night. Tomorrow I will have to work more on it to finish it. Whoops, I'm going the wrong way here. Okay.
I finally got on so you can hear me, right?
Yes. I gave up on you.
Yeah. I was unmuted. You had unmuted me. Everything was fine except for you couldn't hear my voice.
Right.
So I had to kick myself totally out of the loop completely and log back in.
Okay.
So anyway, the second plane was the one for me.
Okay.
And I had some other stuff, but it's moot. I can talk to you about it later, and only if the Lord makes it an issue. Yeah.
No, either one of them will be fine. Either one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That's true. Either one of them will be fine.
So, all right. So,
God bless you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now, let's see. I'm back into. Well, let me get over here. Oh yeah, there I'm back. I've showed it already. And I wanted to go into Romans 7 about the law of sin, that Paul can't do what he wants to do, that there's something operating in him. And basically, it was about covetousness. If you read that early on in Romans 7, he talks about covetousness. So that's what, when he writes about the law of sin and death operating in him, it was covetousness. And then he calls that the law of sin. Then in Romans 8:2, he calls it the law of sin and death. So that's interesting to bring out, because we can all relate to that. We can all relate to that. So Romans 7 is talking about the war that's going on inside of him, and the law of sin is winning. But then in Romans 8, he shows that it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes him free. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And then I want to tie it into Romans 8:15 about God being our Abba Father. So Romans 6:2 leads, of course, right into Romans 8:15. So Romans 2 is in one part, the law of the spirit and victory, and the law of sin and death and bondage. Now, when we go up into Romans 8:15, it's reversed. The bondage is reversed, and then there's the freedom. So Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The spirit of bondage and fear in Romans 8:2 operates under the law of sin and death. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So the law, the spirit of adoption and our relationship with Abba, Father, that functions under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So Romans 8:2 leads directly to, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's where God wants us to be with him. When we are with God under the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The spirit of adoption is we function then under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it's a great victory. That spirit of adoption and our relationship with God as Abba Father, that gives us the victory over the spirit of bondage again to fear. Our life with God as our Abba Father, walking with the spirit with God as our Abba Father, that's where victory comes. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is his resurrection. It's his power. And that's what we need to realize. That's what we need to pray for, more of the resurrection power in our lives. That Paul says that he may know him and the power of his resurrection. So I'm really at the end right there. And that's it, folks. I was right at the end. I just have a little bit to do. tomorrow, and I'll be all set for tomorrow night. Okay, thank you, or I was experimenting on you, and I hope you were blessed. So now, if there's any comments, I'll just open it up to any comments, and then we can have a little bit of prayer and a song or two, and we'll call it a night. We got about a half hour left. So, Paula Jean.
Yes.
Any comments?
I was able to easily see why I had chosen the number 2 was because it had more detail with each of the facets, you know, of the airplane and the different positions. And I understand the perspective that you presented for the other 2 planes, right?
Uh-huh.
Don't you have 3 total?
No, 2.
2. Okay. Then I guess I'm confused about the fact that you're using Romans, the beginning of Romans for the first one, the middle of Romans for the second one, and the end of Romans for the 3rd one. I mean, that's what it seemed like when I was listening
no,
in your presentation.
No, it's just
okay. So I got confused.
Okay.
I definitely was confused. So I wish I could be there and listen tomorrow night, but I won't be able to. But that's okay. We'll get it again. I'm sure you'll bring it by us again because it's important. I think that you're adding this aspect concerning what's important in our relationship with Abba Father. And so I do look forward to at least another presentation based on the results that you have tomorrow night, say, because it would probably help me understand it more clearly.
Okay. But as long as you understand that our power, our life here, is in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
That is the most important. And if we are suffering from depression and we're suffering from great anxiety, it's the power, the resurrection power has to be applied. Now, there may be repentance needed. There may be some other things needed, but ultimately it's the resurrection power is what heals us. You know, the word of God and the resurrection power. And that walking in the newness of life is his resurrection power.
Yes, and it all definitely includes his word.
Yes, so there's a reality there. Yeah. You know, there's a reality of his resurrection that we live in.
And are grateful for.
So, okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then we have Sharon. You know, basically, I'm asking you for closing comments on the teaching.
Right. I enjoyed this, and I do with your last sentence and stuff that you used with Paula Jean. Made a lot of sense, and I just not that I can repeat it right now, but it's just, everything that you've been saying is just making a lot of sense, Chaplain John.
Good. So that's Christianity. What I just applied here is that Christianity operates in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's where we operate on. So we have to know. How do you tap into that spiritual power? How do you do it? So we live in it. We function in it. And that's what I was showing tonight. That's what I was showing tonight.
Right. We call on Christ.
Yes. And as we live with him as our Abba Father, that is taking us into that realm of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So it's not 5 steps to this or 8 steps to that.
Right.
It's not whatever the principles are of psychology. It's not taking certain drugs to help us and to, you know, and again, I have to qualify it because I believe they're wrong, but when they do this, they try and minister outside of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus because they are trying to help people. They really are. They're not trying to hurt people. Then they're doing what they think is best. But, you know, that's why so many people are depressed and so many people are in bondage. I'm talking about believers.
Right. I mean, you just think about all the churches around each town that aren't even partially filled on Sundays or Wednesdays or the evening services and stuff. And people have just dropped the need for Christ right out of their lives.
Well, that'll change when we have a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit,
yes.
Sister Sharon, and God's power. That's what'll do it. But for the Lord's church, we need to be revived, and that revived is we're living under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because I could not, for 30 years, I tried everything to be set free. Everything. And nothing worked. Nothing. Zero. And didn't know what was wrong. And now I know. I was dealing with gravity under the laws of gravity, not under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay?
Yep. Amen.
All right, Sister Sharon, excuse me, Sister Kathy.
Yeah, I would just like to see if you could show those two pictures again, because Paula Jean sounds like she's talking about the one with the nose pointed up, because there's more detail, more description and words about it. And the other one was, you know, just more on an even keel. Could you show that? It's Paula Jean where she could see now.
I can go over there. I have to, you know, I have to pull up different screens. So,
well, yeah. Could you do that if she could, Chaplain?
Yeah.
The two images.
I'm working on it right now.
Cool.
Okay, I'll work on getting my screen to move.
Yes.
These little telephones are not like computer screens there. They have a personality of their own.
Hmm.
Okay, yeah, now I can go and access my Rumble. Yeah, I've got Rumble up.
There's number one.
You see
his
mouth?
That's the one I like. Yes, that one.
Oh,
that
I have
one has more details. It says lift and the law of the spirit of life and drag, temptation, the flesh, thrust, faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit, and gravity, the law of death. And it's going, the direction is going up.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's that one.
That was my choice, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was because I thought it was.
I thought that was number two and not number one.
It is number two.
No, it's number one.
Yeah.
So you like that one better, Sharon?
Here's number two.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I thought that's what I was voting for, so this one here.
I thought it
was number two. I'm sorry.
There's number two.
That's so anemic compared to the other, to me.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree, Kathy.
Yeah, it does the job. The reason that I like it, it looks clean to me. That's the best way to explain it. It looks clean. The law
not
of the
so
spirit.
Busy.
Yeah, well, gravity, you know, the law of sin and death, lift pointing to the law of the spirit of life, and the power of God that's thrust and dread. Yeah, dread could have underneath it the world. You know, the world's flesh and the devil. And all. But anyways, I probably will go with the first.
Let them see, like Joy said, she'd like to see both of them, and that way they can all, and just tell them your congregation on Tuesday night wants to see their public opinion of which.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Sister Paula Jean, is that good enough for you now?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I never saw the planes tonight this time. It never got to me. I got on and I just never got to that visual. So okay. my computer systems and, you know, or my telephone, I'm having problems with it, period.
Well, Twizzle says there's 5 votes for number one. So I think 5 votes for number one and none for one chaplain votes for number two.
When the baby saw him.
No, hang on. I got it triggered. There we go. Who's voting for number two?
Didn't you say you like number two?
Well,
because it's clean.
But I guess I used the wrong word. No, I like one also, but two at first, it gives me this clean appearance when I look at it. And that, and I see the big sign up on top, the law of the spirit. So that's all. Mm-hmm. No, I like one. Also. But I'll show them both.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah.
And then they'll get the little babies there running to their Abba fathers.
Yes. They're going to be so blessed.
No, Ani. Ani is, I opened the cage and let him out.
Yep, he's gone to his great reward.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to let you know that I was paying attention also when you were talking about, I'm saying this so you can correct me in case I got it wrong, about the magnetism not between the earth, but between the spirit and the way of the world. You know, the sin and death, you know, or life. And it actually spoke to me also. And I'm putting it up to the Lord to help me understand it fully as he'd have me understand it. But that's, you know, totally different from some of the, like the regular magnetism. It has a different experience of it, because you're talking about, if you put positive to positive in that arena, it's like that they come together, whereas regular magnetism, they push apart. Is that right?
Right. They positive to positive reject.
Yeah.
Yep. They
so
reject.
Anyway.
All right. And in fact, I want to get into all of those laws to see if we can get spiritual application. Gravity is so obvious. I mean, gravity is death. You can't get away from it. You're locked on to there. That's all there is to it. No freedom from it. So. All right. Now we have, let's see who's, I think it would be Sister Rita. Yeah, Sister Rita.
Yes, Chaplain John. I enjoyed the lesson tonight and I was blessed. And I think I fell asleep during the lesson, but what I did hear, I was blessed by it.
Good. Good. That our life here on earth now is walking and living in the resurrection power of the Lord. That's what we need to focus on. That's where the victory is. That's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
So the resurrection is more than a doctrine. It is a doctrine for sure. Because the resurrection is part of the gospel. We have to believe that Christ bodily rose from the dead. That's part of our salvation. But there's more to it in that he rose in power, and that power it should be in us also. That's where our victorious living. The resurrection power is the healing of the broken heart. The resurrection power is destroying strongholds in our lives. The resurrection power is what sets us at liberty. Okay, and then we have joy.
I think for the thrust, we're not at the cross. Jesus be the sin offering. That's why we can follow the law of life, because the resurrection, the law of the resurrection, cannot exist without that sin offering. Jesus died on the cross.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And Romans 8:3.
No, hold on. Joy, hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm not ignoring what the Lord did on the cross, because that's the gospel. But for ministering to people, first they have to come to the Lord as their Savior, and then he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for the sin. But what's being left out is the resurrection power. So the law,
are you mentioning that this your teaching is only to the believer, not the unbeliever?
Well, yeah, the unbeliever, how is the unbeliever going to live in the resurrection power?
That's why I said, if you have that thrust of Calvary, even the Jesus died on the cross, without that, like a word, you talk about verse 8:2, right?
Yes.
How about the 8:3? 8:3 mentioned what the law was powerless. What's that law referred to? What the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. What's that law referred to? 8:3, Romans.
Yeah, that's the law of Moses.
Oh. So there's the law of Christ, the spirit of life, law of Moses, and the law of sin.
The law of Moses pointed out sin. The law of Moses was righteous. It was holy. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And it pointed out sin. But it couldn't free people from sin. They were in bondage. And the law, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ does. That's what Romans 1-8 is saying in there. Romans mm-hmm. 7 says that also. You know, the law could not break. The law of Moses could not free us from the law of sin and death. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus can.
And here I have a question. How do you distinguish law itself? Like when you see the law of the spirit, it's the spiritual law. And the law of sin and death, that is like a flesh law, right? But
yes.
It can compare to the law of spirit. There is a law of flesh. And then the reason we have the law of sin and death, so prior to that, we have the law of Moses.
No,
I see.
No.
So you first have the law of Moses and the spirit.
What happened was, here's what happened. When man fell into sin in the garden,
mm-hmm.
man
yeah.
came under the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
So sin, the law of sin and death preceded the law of Moses.
Preceded. Okay.
So if when you read the scriptures about it, God gave the law so people could see their sin. And he provided a way that it could be temporarily dealt with through atonement, through the shedding of animals' blood there, like on Yom Kippur. That all pointed mm-hmm. to they needed a savior, because it could never, the law of sin and death was in functioning, and it functioned until Christ rose from the dead. And now we have a greater law, a higher law. And the first part of it is Christ paid the penalty for our sin. And the second part is that he bodily rose from the dead in power. And we can have that power in us and be victorious over the bondage that people couldn't get free from under the law of Moses.
I love this explanation.
Oh, okay.
From Moses' law. Yeah, I love this.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, that's what I want to know. So there is a higher law includes two parts, Christ died on cross and
yes,
then the resurrection.
Yes.
Law. That's what I expect. You include that Christ paid the sin. Yeah, in that airplane. Because this higher law, wherever it goes, needs to be, you know, be complete, right? The whole law, two part. But you only mention one part. But that's only me. Now you helped me. I appreciate that. That's what I want to see. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lord, we could not live under the resurrection power of Jesus Christ until he first went to the cross.
You know what? For me, in experience, resurrection law, this law, I feel for me, it's like the law, I don't know how to say it, the law Christ paid the sin to us, that is so powerful. It's like a cross. I don't know. I try to find a word to describe that part.
Okay.
When that part functions, both, when that part functions and then the resurrection power functions also. So that's why I want to emphasize both. It's not you only, I feel that it's not just the resurrection power itself is functioning. And also even for the Christ died for us, even though when we baptized or believing Jesus, we all received that. But in real life, people didn't experience fully of that power of Calvary or power of cross.
Well, yes.
That's
But you see,
you know what?
In a sense, you're right, but in another sense, you're not. The reason you're not is I'm speaking directly to believers on this.
Because I'm a believer.
Right.
That's why when I experienced that Christ. Actually, Isaiah 51, you already explained how powerful it is. Isaiah 51 includes both.
53.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, 53.
Yes.
So, that includes
Joy.
Power, what he did on the cross, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Joy, let me explain it. When I'm in Pakistan speaking, I preach salvation in Christ and the first part of the gospel and that to have eternal life, you have to believe Jesus died for your sin. I preach that. And then after that, about them coming to Christ, I pray over them for the healing of their broken heart. That's the resurrection power. I pray for the strongholds being broken, being oppressed of the devil. What I'm doing now is I am ministering to believers. I'm not speaking to unbelievers. I'm ministering to believers. So the first part of the gospel is understood. I'm not ignoring it. It's understood. I'm not preaching to, you know, lost people that don't know the gospel. So I'm ministering to people for them to see their need for the resurrection power in their life. And also I'm hoping that they would grasp this and then begin to minister themselves.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
I see.
So,
now I understand. But my point is even for the believers, they know it. Their mind knows this Christ died on cross. But actually it's in spiritually, in experiential, people don't know that power. They know it by words or by knowledge, but not really by experience. And we, in our experience as believers, we need to experience that power of his. I just see so much power there. I'm just wish you mention it. Do not leave it off. That's my point. Yeah.
Understand. I don't think I'll be able to change the picture.
No, you don't need to. I understand now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really appreciate.
All right.
Thank
you. Joy. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm looking forward to see you tomorrow.
Thank you for that.
See you tomorrow night. Yeah. Okay. We're about out of time. So, well, I'm going to close with a song here. And I'm going to go with Sister Rita, because somehow she gets shortened every now and then and misses a song. So I'm making up for lost songs, Sister Rita.
But tell us about Pastor Ernie first.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Pastor Ernie definitely has early signs of a heart attack. He went to, because Friday night at the exact time I was having trouble, so was he. And today he went to the doctor and they're moving right away. He needs an operation because he's got the blocked arteries in that. So he felt a lot of pain. So it is serious, folks, for Pastor Ernie. So we need prayer. Now, after the operation, he's going to be laid up for a while. So he's making plans on, you know, filling in for him on the show. So I told him I would help him as best I could. Tomorrow I want to call him again. I think he... if you're having heart trouble like that, he should be immediately in the hospital now.
Yes, amen, amen.
So
we'll pray for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sister Kathy, you brought up. Would you please pray for Pastor Ernie, and then we'll close.
Yeah, and Desmond sent out a list
yes.
to everybody,
yes.
and I also got Ray had texted me, and she. Listens to y'all every Friday night, so she's on the job praying too.
Oh,
so Lord, yeah, yeah, and you know, I'm sure she'd tell everybody she knows. So Lord, we just pray for Pastor Ernie and the other man that had similar situations, and we thank you that Chaplain John seems to be relieved of any issue that way. And we just thank you that the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous people avails much. And Lord, just as Nana Debbie had an issue in 2008 that was resolved, she's doing fine now. So we pray that same result for Pastor Ernie. And we just say thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Lord, let him not be worried about any process. I know there's so much responsibility with the radio show and that kind of thing. But, Lord, let him just consider getting well so he'll be able to do it longer than if he neglects this dangerous problem and goes to be with you. So, Lord, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you that you never, never leave us or forsake us. And we are invincible until you are finished with your purpose in us. So bless Pastor Ernie and that other man and Chaplain John. And Lord, there's just 100 other things to pray for. We pray for Michael and Robin. Lord, we pray for Pastor Dove's ministry trip. We pray for all the overseas people. We pray for Pastor Fred and his daughter and son. And that they will be healed. Father, as you're pouring out your spirit without measure, you're going to heal all the people. You're going to set everything in order physically like you did when the people left Egypt. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you that your promises are true. There's just so many things to pray for, but you know what's in our heart. You know what concerns us, and you know what is going to take place. So we thank you right now. Thank you for all the blessings of President Trump. Thank you for all the breakthroughs in his issues and all the optimism that is coming and all the revelation that is coming. And we just thank you for every good and perfect gift. They only come from you. And we love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So God bless everybody. I'm excited. I just have a little tweaking to do for tomorrow night. And then the next week we'll be praying I'll have a healing for the brokenhearted message, and also praying over people to be anointed so that they can preach, they can minister in Luke 4:18. We want everybody ministering in Luke 4:18. Amen?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Okay, I think I'll close with the fire. Let's close with the fire. Here we go. God bless everybody.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift